So this is one of those classes that where we've got all of our adults. We've got our junior high and senior high in here as well. It's in between our semesters, we have our 20-week semesters, and then in between those, we've got 2 weeks, and those are designed especially because during those 2 weeks, our classrooms, our children's classrooms are being renovated and redone in order to get ready for the kids to have a new round of classes in there. And so what we do is we bring all of our adults, junior high and senior high, in here, and we have a couple weeks together of some classes just especially for us. So as you look at the screen, as you think about that topic, as you think about one soul, as you think about one responsibility, as you think about one opportunity, this morning I want to begin by asking you to think about one person that you know right now who's lost. I don't want you to get dozens of people. Just get one person in your mind right now that you know is lost and needs the gospel. And I know many of us can get more than one, but I just want you to get one person that you know who needs the gospel. And as you think about that this morning, I want you to think about the fact, about the question of, if nobody reaches that one soul that you know who needs the gospel, if nobody reaches them, what's going to happen to their soul? I mean, that's not hard to figure out, right? You know, you think about Eve is right. They're not going to have eternal life. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, you remember what Jesus said about if somebody gains the whole world and then what? Loses their own soul. What does it mean to lose your own soul? Is it like what happens with your car keys sometimes when you lose your car keys? What does it mean to lose your own soul? It's not that you've misplaced it. It's that it is lost for all of eternity. And so this morning I want you to think about the value of one soul. And as we go through this class this morning, I just want you to keep reminding yourself of that one person that you thought of. That one person that you know who needs the gospel. And as you think about that one soul, I want you to think about the one responsibility that we have. The one responsibility that you have to that one soul, the one responsibility that we all have to all souls. And here's the responsibility. I want you to look at one word up here. God emphasizes our individual responsibility. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 3. I know you know this passage. But maybe we don't study, we don't study the Old Testament nearly as much as we should, and certainly we don't study the Old Testament prophets as much as we should. They are full of lessons for us. But go over to Ezekiel chapter 3, where God is calling upon Ezekiel, maybe you've got a heading there, calling upon Ezekiel to be the watchman. And we won't take time to try to develop the entirety of this early context here, but I just want you to see these verses that are on the screen, Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 18, where God said, back up to verse 16. Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me saying, Ezekiel 3 and verse 17, Son of man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. This morning I want you to think, has God made you a watchman? He says to Ezekiel, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. So God says, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die. Why are they going to die? Well, because they're wicked. They've turned from God. But he says, if I say, God says to the wicked, you shall surely die. And you, Ezekiel, you give him no warning. You don't speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. Well, that wicked man is going to die in his iniquity because that's what I said would happen. But his blood, I, God, will require at your Ezekiel's hand. Why is that? Well, this person's going to die, but God says if you don't go and warn them about that, well, the end result's going to be the same for that person, but I'm going to require it as his hands because you didn't warn him. Verse 19, yet if you do warn him, if you do go and warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, well, it's still going to be the fact that he's going to die in his sin. He's going to die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. Ezekiel had a responsibility that God was giving to him. And his responsibility was, when God warned, when God says that sin has consequences, then Ezekiel's responsibility was, go and tell people what's going to happen if they don't turn. That was his individual responsibility. We understand that today, well, we are a watchman. We're not like Ezekiel watching over the Jews in captivity, but we have a responsibility today to those souls that we know who are lost. Not just the one that you've got in your mind this morning, but every single one of them, but especially to that one, we've got a responsibility to get the gospel to them. They are lost without the gospel. You know Romans chapter 10. You know verse 13 says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. But how are they going to call on him in whom they haven't believed? And how are they going to believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how are they going to hear unless there's somebody to preach to them? And that's us. Everybody needs to be saved, but the progress by which somebody is saved begins by us opening our mouths so that they can develop a faith from the Word of God, Romans 10:17 would say, and allow that faith to cause them to obey the gospel. And so God is expecting us as ordinary people just to open our mouths and to speak to other people about Jesus. You know Acts 8 and verse 4, right, Fran? Yes, right. Fran's going back to verse 11 in chapter 3, and that's it exactly. Is the responsibility is on the hearer to do what they're going to do with what they hear, but the responsibility is on us as the speaker to tell them what they need to hear. The choice is up to them whether they respond or not. But our responsibility is we've got to share the message with, and that's what the Christians did in Acts chapter 8. You know, that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, you read about Saul of Tarsus. And the Bible says that he was wreaking havoc on the church. Here was a persecutor going into people's houses, and he is dragging off men and women, and he's committing them to prison. So in Acts 8 and verse 4, the Christians are being scattered. They're being scattered because, they're facing persecution. And because of that persecution, they're having to leave their homes in Jerusalem and go other places. But what does Acts 8 and verse 4 say? Those who were scattered abroad, they went everywhere doing what? They kept preaching. The very thing that drove them away from their homes, that persecution for preaching the gospel, is the very thing they kept on doing. Do you picture those people as being specially trained? Had they been to a special school of preaching somewhere and been specially trained in how to teach somebody the gospel? That's not Acts 8 and verse 4. These are just ordinary Christians. These are people who just obeyed the gospel themselves. It's not that they have special training, but what do they know? They know the gospel, and they know people who don't have the gospel are lost, and so they want to get it into their hands. So as you think about one soul, as you think about one responsibility this morning, I want you to go back to that one soul that you know is lost and needs the gospel. And I want you to think about one opportunity to reach them. And I'm going to put all of this up here because I want to move on and get to kind of the thrust of our class this morning. Do we believe that the gospel saves people? Do we believe that? Well, yeah, of course we believe that. Do we believe that people are lost without the gospel? Well, yeah, we believe that too. Do our actions match what we believe? If we really believe that, do our actions show that? You know, if you really believe that Walmart is going to give away flat panel TVs all day today without limit, you just pull up and you're going to get one. Where are you going to go today? Most of you are going to go to Walmart if you believe they're going to give you a flat panel TV for free without limits. You know, they've got truckloads coming in. They're just going to give them away to you. What does that say? Your actions follow what you believe. Now, some of you might avoid Walmart because of that. You might say, I'm not going over there. There's going to be a madhouse. You know, there are going to be crazy people over there. I'm going to avoid it. Why are you going to avoid it? Because your actions are based upon what you believe. What about our actions when it comes to people needing the gospel? Personal evangelism doesn't mean that you've got all the right answers for all the questions that they ask you, but it just means that you've got a heart that is willing to start a conversation with somebody about the gospel. So this morning, I want us to think about our responsibilities, and I want us to think about the opportunities that we have to teach people the gospel. There are some individuals in this church who I believe are individuals who truly have a heart for reaching lost souls. I think about Dan McLeod, and Dan goes all the way over to the Pacific to teach and to reach people with Robert Martin over in the Pacific Islands. Dan McLeod's got a heart for souls. There's a lot of people in this congregation that the Great Commission is more than just words on a piece of paper. That it's something that's embedded in their soul and in their heart. That they see souls and they want to reach souls with the gospel. And there's scores, there's dozens of folks in this congregation that are like that. But I've asked three men to come up this morning, and these three men are not experts. They're not perfect in this regard. But what I have seen in these men over the years is that they truly have a heart for those souls who need the gospel. And they've tried in a variety of ways to reach these people and to make a difference in their lives. It's not always possible to do that. Some people aren't willing to listen. But instead of you listening to me this morning talk about evangelism and talk about souls who need the gospel, I want you to listen to three ordinary guys, okay? They're not ordinary to me, but they're ordinary from the standpoint of they haven't had any special training in anything. They're just like all the rest of us. And yet they want to talk to people about the Lord. And so I've asked them, I'm going to ask them some questions this morning. They knew these questions were going to come already. But I want you to listen to them. I want you to listen to their hearts. I want you to think, what can I take away from this today? What little nugget is there in here that I haven't thought of before that I can take? And when we leave here today, the point is not, boy, those three men are awesome. You know, the point is, I can do that. I want to do that. There's three words here. I can do that. I want to do that. I will do that. So Mike Erickson and Islay Rodriguez and Jimmy Banks, will you guys come on up? I've taken more time than I intended to in the first part of this, but I want to take some time and let these guys share some thoughts with you. Chairs might be kind of close quarters, but you all love each other, so you're okay. You're okay with that. Let me get this out of your face so that they can see your pretty faces and not this thing. Thank you guys for being willing to do this, we're going to get right into it. And Jimmy, you're sitting on this side, so I'm going to start with you. What's your motivation? What motivates you to talk to people about the gospel?
I want to say we didn't plan the colors either. So I think about two things. You wake up every day hungry, right? And you're looking for something to eat. So my hunger is to feed those who need to be fed. Second thing I want you to think about, would you want somebody to walk past you that know the truth and how to be saved and to get to heaven, and they walk past you and don't say nothing to you at all? Those are my motivations to get me going.
my motivation... Well, I start thinking about basically my existence, if you can imagine that. And obviously, when you start thinking about your existence, then there are questions, fundamental questions that come to mind. You know, where did I come from? What's my purpose? And where am I going? So the gospel addresses those things, you know, but basically what my purpose is to drag as many souls into heaven as I can. That's the reason that we're here. So my purpose is that, and that motivates me. My purpose is also, it's what you already had up there, responsibility. Now that I know that this is going to happen, that there are eternal souls at stake, then it's my responsibility to tell them. And anyway, those are the things that motivate me. Other things that motivate me are the fact that I believe that everybody has the same three questions. It isn't just me, it's everybody. So they're designed to go ahead and ask those questions and try to get answers to those questions, all right? We have the answers, so these people are already primed to hear the answer, and some of them have deceived themselves or allowed themselves to be deceived, and they won't accept the answer. But those that are honest are really looking for an answer, and they will gravitate towards that.
Well, I agree with everything, and hard to add too much to that. But the world is lost, and the price is heavy. It's eternity in hell. That's what these people are facing. And we're the only hope. We're God's plan. I know that you can't take my place, and I can't take your place. You're going to talk to people today, and you can be like I am a lot of times, wrapped up in what I'm doing and not really caring. That's the truth, not really caring. We need to care. We need to see these people. What motivates me? Of course, God, what he's done for me. He saved me. I don't deserve it. And all of us have somebody that came to us, shared the truth with us. Be that person.
Mike, keep the mic. Mike, that's good. Mike, keep the mic. Don't drop the mic, just keep the mic. We'll start with you. That way Jimmy doesn't get all the thunder every time and then everybody else has to follow him. How have you found a good way to start a conversation with somebody so that it doesn't feel awkward, doesn't feel forced? Did I already have it up there? Whoops, where's my question so that everybody sees it? There it is. All right. How do you usually begin a conversation? What have you found works?
Well, for me, a lot of people, come kind of straightforward. I own a business. I'm a salesman. It's a fact that a cold customer isn't as easy to reach as a warm customer. So I personally try to cultivate the warm customer. The person I'm talking to has got to know first and foremost that I care, that I'm concerned. When I'm discussing anything with somebody, if somebody does me a favor, I can have an entrance there. Thank you so much for that. Let me share something with you. It's just every conversation is fluid. Every conversation and every person is different. But if you can make a connection and then move it over to God and what God has for them, it's a gift. You're giving something to them. So that's what I try to do, is just make a connection with the person first and then move over.
It depends on the situation. If you're handing out tracts at Walmart, you want something short and concise. I typically will say something like, "Are you ready for Jesus when he comes back?" And then you hand them a tract. And then, of course, if they say yes, and then you say, "Well, how do you know? Tell me how you know." If I'm next to somebody on a plane or whatever, then basically anything, football, basketball, fishing, whatever, anything you can initiate is a good thing. You know, you want to try to initiate, and then you want to try to transition into, do you believe in God? You know, those types of things. And then from that, you can get into the gospel. So that's how I would do it.
One thing I'm thinking about, my grandmother, who introduced me to Jesus Christ. She always say, "Son, keep living. You're going to be around some things. You're going to see some things. And you're going to be part of some things. But as long as you keep Jesus, just keep living." So when I deal with clients all week, even on the weekends, they call me just to hear my voice, to talk, to express. And I find things that's relatable. So, and I can say, you know, once upon in my life, I know of that circumstance and situation. And when I explain them why I know that, because I was a part of that. But I said, but one thing that changed me was God. And that's how I get into speaking. They be open ears and willing to hear then. Because if you go in with a cold cut knife and start slicing, their ears turn off. And I respect my wife to allow them to call me on the weekends during our time, because that's when they're most vulnerable. And I got several of them saying, "Where is your church?" Because my actions is consistent every day.
Okay. All right, Islay, we'll start with you. Give you an opportunity. Let's go to the next one. How do you deal with fear? Be nervous talking to somebody? How do you deal with the possibility of somebody just rejecting you outright? How do you overcome that and deal with those kind of emotional fears that we might have?
Well, first of all, I think that most of the times when you try to present the gospel, you're going to be rejected. So if you have that understanding, then you're kind of ready for it. As far as nervousness is concerned, I think you just got to break the ice. You got to do it, and the more you do it, the easier it gets. You know, so it's not any magic formula. You have to do it. If you understand the urgency of it, that helps. You know, but initially there's going to be fear and nervousness and those types of things.
Okay,
Mike.
I think most people deal with the fear, nervousness, possibility of rejection. But I also think this is a devil's lie. I really, really do. I've never spoken to anybody, and I'm sure it's possible. I'm sure it's possible. No matter what that person does with what I said, that didn't appreciate my concern for them. I don't think it's really an issue. We make it an issue. It's there. It's there for me. But it's not true. It really isn't. And when you talk to somebody, say, "Just do it." God's with you. God's with you. I am nobody. But I start talking, and it just flows. It just flows. And a person knows I care. That's not something they look down at you for. They appreciate you for it.
I had to start embedding the word, "You're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you." And that was starting to help me, because where I'm at, I have Muslim, Hebrew, Israelites, and all there. And they'll bring up a subject, and I say, "How you know that's real?" Pointed out. And they said, "Well, I can show you." And I'm still waiting on them to show me, because they can't. But then we get to talking and laughing. Then I said, you know, God is real. Jesus did come on this earth and die for us. Because I used to be afraid to speak growing up, because it wasn't something I was wanted to. It was something that was projected on me. And I had to break through that. And once I started being bold, you know, and I think about Jim Rogers, you know, how he deal with the Jehovah's Witness and different ones. Things like that make me think, if he's bold and he's speaking what the word say, why I should be afraid. And now those same people meet me every day. You got a scripture for us today. You got a word for us today. So consistency works.
Good. Isla, before I forget, you said there's three questions everybody's asking. So everybody's wondering here, what are those three questions?
Basically, where did I come from? Where am I going? And what is my purpose in life? And there's some other questions, like who's providing for me? You know, those types of things. Those are fundamental questions that, you know, that every child has. You know, they're always asking why. And God has actually designed our brain to work with creation to point us to Him. That's the reason for the creation. He wants us to recognize Him, and He's designed it that way. So it's like things you shouldn't have to tell anybody, but Satan's out there trying to deceive everybody to make them believe, you know, we popped into existence, evolution is true, there is no God. You know, the truth is that you could convince me that I don't exist before you can convince me there is no God. You know, it's just such an obvious thing. And the problem is that if you've been indoctrinated since you were a little kid in the public school systems to believe that there is no God, you know, that indoctrination kind of takes over. But when somebody discovers that it's a lie, that happened to me, you know, so.
Okay, good. You do exist, Isla. I'm convinced of it. So, all right, so we'll start with Jimmy. It doesn't matter. You all arm wrestle or something for it. So what do you think is the biggest obstacle for us today, just in general? What do you think is the biggest obstacle for us today in reaching out to those who are lost, and how do you think we can overcome that?
We have to do more. We need to, if we can take a time to go to a concert or movie, hang out at a picnic, do something what we consider fun, we can just take a tenth of that time to look into a person's soul and really reach out. I remember the days when we really used to go knock on doors. I remember the days we used to really gather together, not pretentiously, but seriously, and really work for God. We can all, us three is a prime example. We could be up here complaining about our conditions or things that's going on in our life. God paid for it all. Now Jesus to hang on the cross for it all. So why can't we take a moment out of our day, put a book aside or whatever, and go reach that person and let them know how important their life is with God?
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of reasons, but I think that urgency, we don't understand, or not that we don't understand the urgency, I think we kind of intellectually understand the urgency. But we don't understand what eternal hell is like. And that motivates me as far as I fear God and I fear eternal damnation. And that does motivate me.
Well, I think my biggest obstacle is me. My laziness. Being too consumed with my day, what I'm doing. How do I overcome pray. I pray for God to open doors. You ask and He will open the door. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you. I pray, help me. Help me speak to these people. If you pray, He answers. Mm. It's guaranteed. So yeah, I'm my biggest obstacle. And that's the best way I get over it.
Hmm. All right, Mike, we'll start with you. What ideas, and this kind of flows out of even what you were just talking about in this last question, but what ideas would you guys share with everybody here? Say, okay, how do we make this easier? How do we make it more natural for us? What ideas would you have?
Well, kind of hinges on what I just said, but making it a priority. I mean, really a conscious priority. At night in your prayers, in the morning in your prayers, help me. Keep my eyes open. Sometimes I've thought nobody listens. Nobody really cares anymore. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. The harvest is here. Sure, there'll be rejection. Sure, not everybody's going to listen. But there's people out here that will listen. And we're the only thing they have. You know, everything reproduces after its own kind. I let that person go, and I fail so many times. But he goes out the door and goes next door, and the Catholic talks to him. What does the Catholic reproduce? Or the Baptist, or the Jehovah's Witness, or any of the other religions? We're the only ones, and there's not that many of us.
In a previous life, I was basically not part of the Church of Christ. However, we did do evangelism. Okay, it's a partial evangelism. It's not the full gospel. But one of the things that we did was there was a program called Evangelism Explosion. I don't know if you ever heard of that or not, but it was a long time ago. And it was put out by a Calvinist. But what it did is I took the course. What it did is it forced me to memorize verses and to have a structure to the presentation, you know, which gives you, not that the structure was great or anything like that, but it gives you confidence that you can go through that and then eventually you can break out of that because you have enough confidence and things like that. So that's one of the things I would do. We actually went door to door, and we went visiting visitors, and you know, we'd show up, we'd knock on the door, see if they would let us in, type of thing, and that helped me a lot. So,
a couple of things I think of. You have to really love yourself, just like God loves you, and it should come natural through love. When me and Sherlan visit in Orlando, it's two congregations that we found up there that we really like. It looked like as soon as we get home, there's a card in the mail. Thank you for coming. When you back in our area, we're looking forward to seeing you again. It's like I take note when visitors come in this door, I run across the room to say hello. It's just simpler gestures like that make a person feel welcome. We can't get out of ourselves not being welcoming people anymore. We can't say I'm with God and settled in and I'm good. No, we have to continue to show love the day we were born until the day we die. And all the way we can demonstrate it according to what the scripture said. That's it.
All right, we're gonna run out of time. So, Jimmy, keep the mic, and any last comments you want to make before we wrap up.
Well, I wanted to say I love you all. I was thankful for this opportunity because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to expect, even though I looked at the questions. I just let my love come from my heart. It's who I am as a person, because I'm very genuine once you really know me. I'm very funny once you really know me. I'm a mail deliverer when you really know me. So I do those things out of love, and that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I would encourage people to make them understand that people are going to hell, and that we have the answer. That, you know, there's no better answer than what we've got. The gospel is, you know, going to heaven forever, being with God, in pure joy and happiness. There's no better product than that we're trying to sell, and it's free. So anyway, that's what I would, you know, people should understand that. And then, of course, understand the flip side of that, that everybody is going to hell if they don't accept the gift.
Well, let me just tell you kind of what I do. When I'm talking to somebody and I get friendly enough to be able to open a door, I say, let me give you an invitation. There is nothing more important to me for personal work than this. The business card, hey, if I didn't have anything else, but no. An invitation. I say this is the most special place on planet Earth. Come and take a look. Jesus said, I will build my church, one church. He said, I came to seek and save the lost. He did that. He built his church. On the day of Pentecost, 33 AD, he saved 3,000 souls. He built his church, the same thing. Those two things are the same thing. It happened. The church is still there. He paid for their souls with his blood. He paid for mine with his blood. And he can pay for yours with your blood. Just come and see. Come and look. If this place isn't what you read in the Bible, come to us and ask us why. If we can't show you for your understanding, find that place that does that. But I promise you, this is Jesus' church. Spend 2 hours of your eternity to see if this isn't so. Just take a look. Amen.
I think we could stay here all morning talking, but thank you, guys. I love these men. I know Mike doesn't want to sit up here any longer than he has to, but I love these men. I love their hearts, and I think you've got a piece of their heart here this morning. And just listening to them talk, this is a heart that we all need to have. And you know, some of you are sitting there and thinking, well, you know, you don't have so and so sitting up there. There's a lot of people here that could have been sitting in these chairs, okay? But the heart of these three men, I think, speaks for the heart of Jesus that says this is what we need to be doing. I've known Mike longer than I've known these other guys, and when I worked for Mike in his pet shop back in the long time ago, you know, even 40 years ago, Mike was in the back of his pet shop with a little white board on the back there, having Bible studies with customers who'd come in, just using what he had, where he was, and the opportunities open. And that's what it is. It's just seeing opportunities. And so as we leave here, we're not leaving, but as we wrap this up this morning, What more can we do? I want you to go back and think about that one person that I asked you to think about at the beginning. One person that you know that is lost and needs the gospel. What can you do today? Pray about them. Look for an opportunity. And then step out and do something. And the cards that Mike is holding up, those little invitation cards, are to me one of the easiest things. They've become one of the easiest things for me to give out. But look for an opportunity to invite them, to talk to them, to ask them to have a Bible study with you. And who knows but what, we're one conversation away from saving somebody's soul. Let's pray together and then we'll be dismissed. Holy Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for this opportunity to sit and to talk about your work. Thank you for the fact that you didn't give this work to angels or to those who were better prepared than we are, but you gave it to us so that we can tell people what's most important to us, and that's how we can have our souls saved by Jesus. Father, thank you for Jimmy and Isli and Mike and their willingness to sit here and to share their hearts and their ideas and their thoughts with us. Father, we recognize this is not our work. It doesn't belong to any of us. It's your work. It's your church. It's your gospel. It's your salvation that we have and that we get to share with others. Help us to never be ashamed. Help us to never be filled with fear. Help us to be filled with boldness, with courage, with love, and with determination that we want to find those who are lost and share with them the good news that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.